thankful for the verses this morning. And I'm grateful for the truth of the things that we were singing about today. Jesus loves, and He has all of those things available there to us and for us. His arms to enfold us, the way that He rescues us, and the way that He shields us, and all of the things that we sang about this morning. I felt them all in my lifetime. I want to encourage us this morning. I was asking the Lord, Lord, what do we need? What do the people need? What are you wanting to warn us? Are you wanting to remind us, to stir us, to deal with us, chasten us? What do we need this morning? You know, the Lord knows the needs of how many of there are there of us this morning. And they may be different needs, but the Lord has the unique ability to meet every need through the word or through the songs. And that's why He wanted us to come together, is because there's just special ways that the Lord meets needs that we may not have ever spoken and no one knows. But the Holy Spirit comes and He knows. And so He directs someone, or maybe several someones, or the very songs that were sang, that have been sung this morning. They've already have been meeting some of my needs. I want to direct you to Matthew chapter 14. And the scene here in verse 22. Jesus had, the beginning of the chapter, Jesus' friend and cousin John the Baptist had been put in prison because of his preaching, and then the woman that he had preached against was so mad at him that she had him killed. And when Jesus heard about that, He went away into a lonely place. Do you know that Jesus, I'm sure, was in a time of grief? And then, right while He was in His time of grief, here came all the people. Thousands of them. How many thousand? About 5,000 men, plus women and children. Can you imagine trying to grieve over in a and be solitary, and here comes 5,000 people with needs? Well, this was where Jesus was, and so He taught them, ministered to him, healed their sick, spent all day just giving and giving and giving. And here He was in a time of need. What a lesson for us. The end of the day, they were all real hungry. And who had food to share? Can you children help me to know who had food to share?
A boy would have.
And what'd the boy have?
Some bread and fish.
How many, Levi? You remember how many pieces of bread? Anybody can tell us? Ah, Jenny said five. Five pieces of bread and how many fish?
I think two.
Two. Very good. All right, well, He brought those over to Jesus, and Jesus just started breaking them up, and He prayed over those pieces and started handing them out. And what happened to the bread and the fish?
And whatever all those five pieces were gone, they just appeared in the basket.
More appeared in the basket. That's right. More and more and more until He had fed 5,000 people or more. Then what did Jesus do? I think Jesus was worn out. Don't you think He was worn out? So there He told His disciples, you get in the boat and you go to the other side. And he told the people, it's time for you to go home now. And he went up into the mountain to pray and to be alone. But what happened to the men that were in the boat? Now we're going to talk about them. What happened to them as they were rowing out into the sea? It says, the ship, in verse 24, was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. So, let's see if we can find what the boat was doing. Here's a great big wave. And here's another great big wave. Let's think about this little boat now. Here's the boat. And the disciples in it, with 12 of them. At times it was up there. And then at times it was down here. Can you think about being in a boat and it being way down between some waves? Would you be frightened? And it was dark, but there was some lightning. I'd say that every time it had lightning, you could look up and you could see how tall the waves were above you. And then all of a sudden, whoop, and there you go, and you're up on the wave again. I'd say there was some seasickness, probably. And there were some men trying to keep the water out of the boat. And all this time, they're thinking, why didn't Jesus go with us? If he knows everything, he knew this storm was going to be here, why isn't he with us? Where, Jesus, help us. Where are you? It said the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Some were saying, row, put the sail on this side. We can't. The wind's going the wrong way. Now it's coming from this direction. Just tossed to and fro. Just tossed. And what time was it? And in the fourth watch of the night. What is the fourth watch? I have a little place in my Bible that tells about time in the scriptures. And let's see if we can figure this out. Let me find this here. Okay, here we go. The first watch was until midnight. The middle watch, let's see, okay, here, the New Testament. The first watch was evening 6 to 9. Okay, there we got it. From 6 to 9 was the first watch. The second watch was from 9 to 12, midnight. The third watch was from 12 to 3. You ever notice as a parent that you have children that are sick? And I used to notice this all the time. The children would be sick in the evening, and then somewhere around maybe 10 o'clock, they'd go to sleep. And they'd sleep till midnight. And then it seemed like they'd wake at midnight sick. Real sick, and you'd be up from midnight and 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock. This was the third watch of the night. From 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock, then, was the fourth watch. Now, when did Jesus come? It said, and in the fourth watch, between 3 and 6. That was a long night for the disciples. They were in that sea with it tossing like that for hours. Can you imagine? In the fourth watch of a night, Jesus went unto them. Now, you know, we could question Jesus. Why didn't you get to them at midnight? Why did you wait until after 3. Why? What about those 6 hours there from 9 to midnight to 3? 6 hours of contrary winds and waves. Does it ever come to you like that in your life where it just seems like, Lord, I needed you a long time ago. Why didn't you come long ago? Why are you waiting so long? It does seem like that, doesn't it? That our trials, so many times, they just last so much longer than what we wish they would. But this is what Jesus did. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Just walking right on that. Now think about this. Way up on that wave, there's Jesus. And way down on this wave, there he is again. He was walking on the sea. Sometimes we think in our mind, walking on the sea, yeah. Now he's out there and there's this level, horizontal plane of water. But we're talking about walking on that kind of sea. Jesus walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Just think about that in this flash of lightning. All of a sudden, you see a man. His robe is all whipped and his hair is all whipped out there. And here you're seeing this man. They were troubled. They were afraid. Wouldn't you feel the prickles raise up on your neck and your scalp if you saw a man out there on the sea with you? And they were troubled and said, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Oh, what wonderful words. Now that was before he made the winds to calm down. The winds were still going and the waves were still going, and he said, "Don't be afraid. You don't be scared, don't be alarmed, it's me. Don't be afraid." How, we might think, Lord, I know I'm supposed to be encouraged. I'm supposed to have courage to help other people. I'm supposed to be telling the gospel story to people. But Lord, I'm in need. I'm suffocating with fear. I'm needing you to help me. And that's where we are many times in our lives. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, if it is you, then bid me come to thee on the water." And he thought to himself, I'm thinking here of what Peter's real thoughts were. He wanted to get close to Jesus. "Lord, if I can just get with you." And I don't know if he thought Jesus wasn't going to come to the boat or what, but he thought, "You asked me to come. If you tell me to come, I can come to you on this water." So Jesus said, "Come. Come." What would you do if Jesus said, "Come"?
I would just do it.
I'd like to think I would too, but what would you do if Jesus said, "Come"? So Peter got out of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, what kind of water was Peter walking on? There he is. He would walk and he would look down and he's on the top of this wave. All of a sudden, he and Jesus were down here. And the waves were way up there. The wind was still blowing. The waves were still going. But he's walking with Jesus. Now, if you're walking with Jesus, should you be afraid?
No.
He won't let anything happen to you, will he?
Yeah.
Well, here's what happened with Peter. He was walking with Jesus. He was actually going to Jesus. That's really what it says. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Now, Jesus was right there, but he still got afraid. Do we sometimes get afraid when Jesus has proven that he's right there with us? We still sometimes get afraid, don't we? Should we be afraid? We really shouldn't be afraid, but we still do get afraid. He was afraid and beginning to sink. Now, what went first? What went first? Did he start to sink and then get afraid?
Yes.
No, he was afraid and then he began to sink. Did you know that's how it is with us today? If Satan can get us, well, first, before the fear, he doubted. Jesus pinpointed that later. He said, "Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt?" So he began to doubt, "I can't do this. I'm not going to make it." He was still up there. And so he began to be afraid. He doubted. Jesus was right there. And then he doubted. And then he was afraid. And that's when he began to sink. If we can remember, nothing can hurt me. I'm with Jesus. I'm walking with Jesus. But if we begin to doubt, it's then that we begin to sink. Now, did Jesus just go, "You're not even believing in me and I'm with you. Just sink then." Did Jesus do that? What did Jesus do? What did Peter do when he was sinking? First, let's think about what he did. Did he just vroom? And he was down. What did he do? He went, "Lord, save me." And then he went down. Was he all the way down, though? I think he had a hand up. I think he was reaching up to Jesus. And then what happened? Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. I love that word. Because that's how we feel so many times, that we're almost gone. I remember telling the Lord one time in a time of trial, it was temptation that would not let up. And it went on month after month and year after year for a couple years. And was tempted by the devil. And I told the Lord one day, I said, "Lord, I'm slipping. I just feel myself slipping. I don't have confidence to know that I'm going to make it. I'm slipping." And that's when the Lord reached out and caught me. There were lots of people in the Bible that came to this place in their life. It's not just the sea experience, but there were others that were slipping, almost gone. There was a man in the Psalms, and I wonder if it was David. I'm not sure who it was. But we know that David, there were places where David actually had sinned and gone against God and didn't do God's will, and the Lord had to reach down and save him. There were other times that the Lord, I thought about Jonah. What happened to Jonah? Where did he cry, "Lord, save me"? Where was he when he cried that? He was down in there, wasn't he? And you know what David said? "All of your waves and your billows have gone over me." So David spiritually felt like he was down under the water. Jonah was under the water. And he cried out to the Lord to save him. Did the Lord save him? He did. You know, even if you'd gone all the way under, even if you'd gone all the way back from following the Lord, if you cry out to the Lord, you know what the Lord does? He can hear you, and he'll rescue you. He'll catch you. The Lord caught Jonah. Now, there was another man in the Bible that was sinking. He had done something. He was angry at God. The Lord had blessed his brother, had not blessed him. And did God just let him go? He was sinking. He was sinking into sin. Did God just let him go? No, God came to him and talked to him. God reached his hand out to him and said, "Why are you angry?" He reasoned with Cain. He tried to help him. He said, "Cain, if you just do well, you'll be all right. And you can rule over this anger and this sin. You can, Cain, you don't have to do..." You know what Cain did? Cain didn't take that outstretched hand. It said Cain went away from the presence of the Lord. And he went away. He established a city. And his descendants became the godless people. The people that would not believe Noah and would not get in the ark. They were Cain's descendants. They had been taught by a godless man to not believe in God. He went away from God. But God tried to help him. And this story that we're talking about today, and all these others, where God reached out, and some of them got God's hand, he pulled them up, but some of them did not. There was a man who went way away from God. He even sacrificed his children on the idols' altars. But you know what happened when he called out to God? His name was Manasseh. It said God heard his cry. And he reached way down and he got Manasseh. Even Manasseh could be forgiven and brought back to God. So this is the story today that Peter, out there, right there with Jesus. Jesus was right there and yet he was sinking. If he hadn't called out, and then he did call out, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. If he hadn't reached out and got Jesus' hand, he would have been gone right there in Jesus' presence. And that can happen to us. Friend, today, we need to realize that Jesus is reaching out his hand to us. It's right there. We may be sinking, but his hand is right there. Just call out to him and reach up and grab his hand. You know, it's really hard if you're up here and somebody's in the water for you to reach down and grab them. It wasn't hard for Jesus, though. Jesus reached down and he set Peter upright, and the two of them walked to the ship. Now, I'm sure this time he was walking with Jesus and holding to his hand. And he didn't look around this time. I don't know what he was looking at. Maybe he was just looking at Jesus. But this time, like, they came into the ship. Well, did Jesus rebuke him? He did. He told him that he just had little faith. He didn't have very much faith. He said, "Why did you doubt, O ye of little faith? Why did you doubt?" And they walked the rest of the time to the ship. Now this says, and when they come to the ship, the wind ceased. So, this storm, this is the way the two of them walked to the ship, is in this big old storm. I don't know how far away they were. It probably wasn't that far. I don't know. But he walked with Jesus, and Jesus didn't tell the wind to quit until they got to the ship. And then he quieted down the wind. And the wind obeyed him. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him and said, "Of a truth, you are the Son of God." Well, I just have this little message to give us this morning. Jesus is reaching out his hand. There was other times that he reached out his hand. He gave it in a story. Let's look at this one. Luke 10. Jesus gave a story, and this is about the Good Samaritan. He was illustrating how the religion and religious people had not helped the people that were really in need. And he pictured the unsaved and lost and needy person as this man who went down to Jericho, and the robbers came and beat him up and took his money and left him on the side of the road. This is every single one of us who are not saved. This is our condition. Well, the religious man, the priest, and the Levite, both two different men, heard this man crying, "Help! Help me! Help me! Help me!" Getting weaker and weaker. And they heard that man, and one of them went over and looked at him. He went away from him. And the other one didn't even go over there. He just kind of thought, "There's no way. It's a trap. It's probably the robbers that were going to get me if I go over there. I'm not touching. I'm not going over there." But then he said a man came who was a Samaritan who didn't get along with the Jews. They were enemies. They wouldn't talk to each other. They wouldn't help each other. But this Samaritan, he heard the man crying. And here's what he did. And to me, this is a picture of what Jesus does for us. It says, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Now that's what Jesus does. Jesus comes where we are. And what did he do? When he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. That was the kind of way that they helped the people who had wounds. And he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The rest of that day he took care of him. And then in the morning he paid the man that had the inn. He said, "I need to go away, but I'll pay you to take care of him." So he put him in good hands of care and came back. He said, "I'm going to come back and check on him." This is what Jesus does for us. He goes where we are. That's very important that we remember Jesus comes where I am. And he reaches down and he helps us and he pulls us up. There were other times that the Lord reached out to others. There was another time in Peter's life. Peter had denied the Lord when Jesus was being led away to be crucified. Peter cursed and swore and said he didn't know him, and Jesus turned and looked at him, and then Peter went away and cried bitterly. And then Jesus was crucified and put in the grave, and Peter and the other disciples hid out in the upper room. They were scared they would be killed too. Well, the women that always followed Jesus, taking care of him, they went to the tomb, and what did they see? Stone rolled away. Some angels. When they went in and they saw, the angels said, "He's not here. You go tell the disciples and who? And Peter. You go tell Peter." See how once again Jesus reached out personally to Peter after Peter had totally messed up. I'm thankful for how the Lord is so good to us, talks to us, he works with us, he doesn't give up on us. He reaches time and time again. I know that the Lord has in my life. He comes where we are. He reaches down his hand and he helps us. Well, amen. That's really what I have this morning to share. I trust this week, as you have your trials and your burdens, that you will remember, if I call on the Lord, he'll help me. He'll come where I am. He'll reach down and he will lift me up.